Hello and welcome to VG Club. My name is Paul, aka Daxter 23 Jack, and I'm insane, just like Isaac Clarke. And today with me is Chris.
That's me.
Hobby.
Hello.
Marcus.
Hey, y'all. Cool look on Twitter.
And Grace.
I'm here, or am I?
I think you are.
Existential questions. I mean, the type of questions Dead Space loves to ask.
Exactly.
Did it though?
No. Yeah, that was complete sarcasm.
And I.
I tried playing this game with my wife, and both of us kind of she got really bored of it after the first chapter. She was just like, "I can't do this."
I think she got the gist.
Pretty much. So let's just give a basic overview. Marcus, how did you like the game?
So Dead Space, our favorite 360 game. Well, I guess it was also PS3, but for me it was just so entwined with the 360 era. The short of it, I think it's very well made. Maybe not my cup of tea, but I'm glad I played it.
What was it? When I was looking for a copy after Chris told me about the controls on PC, which going for twice as much. So yeah, by default went with the 360. But
Good call.
So I'm guessing I all of us either played it on 360 or PC.
Yeah, I did on PC.
Okay, cool.
With mixed results.
What about you? What about you, Javi? Basic overview. What did you think of the game?
So I was a giant Resident Evil. I mean, I still am a giant Resident Evil guy, but Resident Evil 4 was like a huge deal, and I think that Dead Space borrowed wholesale like a lot of Resident Evil 4 and just built on top of what it created. So to me, it was always a spiritual successor to that game, and I regarded it as such as, Dead Space. I love Dead Space, and I love Dead Space 2, maybe even more. Revisiting it because I hadn't played it in a really long time. I think it still holds up really well. I think it looks fantastic, especially on PC. But it is, kind of what you're saying. Your wife kind of after the first couple hours was like, "All right, I'm done with this." It is kind of the same note over and over and over and over again. And no, it is what it is. But I think from what I recall, Dead Space 2 had a lot more variety than the first game. But this did have more variety than I had remembered. And, when I think about Dead Space 1, I always think like browns and dark and metal corridors. And it is largely that, but it does mix it up quite a bit with the environments, more than I remembered. But yeah, I mean, it's a great game. It's a really good action horror shooter. I think it does just kind of use the same tricks over and over again. Like I was trying to play more of it last night, and I just honestly wasn't really in the mood for that kind of game. And I was just like, God, this is so loud. Everything's so loud and yelling at me all the time. Like I'd rather do something else. So maybe that's just due to my age or the mood I was in. But overall,
We'll get
it's
into this
great.
later, but did you end up fi finishing it or not really?
Not this time around. I got pretty far, but
Okay.
not quite.
What about you, Chris?
I mean, I really enjoyed Dead Space when it came out, and coming back to it, I really enjoyed it again. Like, kind of just hits the right notes of a Resident Evil type game, with some added layers to it with the dismemberment and how you handle enemies that way. I also played it this time just with the plasma pistol, or like what the plasma cutter, that was the only weapon I used, which was made it very interesting.
Plasma cutter. I'm trying to think. That's the one that
So it's
comes in the
the
blade.
default
That
weapon.
oh,
It's just
the no.
the
Okay.
default, yeah. The one you get like right at the beginning, and like you can turn it horizontal or vertical,
There's an Chivo for beating the whole game with just that.
Yeah. Yep, that's what I was going for. And
nice.
Was it worth getting that? Yeah, it was quite a bit of fun. And like, it makes it really tense too, because like, you're only getting the one type of ammo. Like, that's the only, it only uses that one type. So like, when enemies are dropping or you're opening up chests that have other ammo, like, it makes it, well, shit, now like, do I spend some of my money and buy ammo? Like, what am I doing here?
I think the advantage is you can sell literally everything
else. Yes, everything. Yeah. Like, if you can carry it and bring it back to the store, you can sell it.
Yeah. I think the only enemy that the plasma cutter is not effective or is kind of clumsy with is the those little dudes that kind of flow out and climb all over you.
The necro babies or whatever.
Yeah, they're like
they're annoying because like you can't really clump them together. So
yeah,
but we'll get into that.
Okay, and finally, the person that recommended this game, Grace. What were your thoughts?
This is like my third time through it, and really, well, my third time through it, but my first time recently. Like, I haven't played it since, I don't even know, probably 2011 or 12, but I still love it. Like, it's just got such a great atmosphere for one thing. Like, you're just like always tense and on edge. Like, you never know what's going to be around the next corner. And then like we've already kind of talked about, it does borrow from like Resident Evil 4, which I absolutely love Resident Evil 4, so that kind of helps. But it sort of throws in its own thing with the dismemberment. So like, it's got like that nice mix of just like tense, like dread, but also it's like the visceral, like bloody, gory, like slasher action. So I kind of like how it sort of balances different types of horror and also like cosmic horror, like, you know, space zombies and all that stuff. I like how it just sort of like takes different types of horror and melds them all together pretty nicely. Like, there's not really, other than maybe the asteroid sections, there's not really any part of it that I would consider particularly weak. Like, the asteroid like shooter sections are kind of the most boring part, but
I failed that maybe like 6 or 7 times before I finally got it. My finger was hurting.
Yeah, I hated the one where you actually have to fight the asteroids. Like, when you use it against the slug boss, it's not as bad, but yeah, actually shooting on the asteroids is kind of tricky.
The asteroid sequence is virtually impossible on PC with a controller. You have to use a mouse because there's like a giant lag on PC. I found out the way around it, but we'll probably get into that later.
Yeah, I played it on, well, I played the 360 version, but I played it on Series X. So, like, the only real difference was slightly better load times. Other than that, no real improvements.
Yeah, so, in general, like, the gameplay mechanisms, the atmosphere, graphics, sound design, that was all good. I ended up just getting kind of bored by the... Well, in some parts, the lack of variety, and then just the narrative was completely boring. So, but we'll expand on that in just a second. Let's go ahead and just get the story out of the way, or what they say is the story.
Passes for it.
Yep. So you are Isaac Clarke, an engineer, and you are on a search and rescue mission after, or not search and rescue, you're repairing the communication relay because it's gone down apparently. So you're on this tiny transport, there's 6 of you, you get on the station, immediately lose half of your crew, and you're left with Kendra and Hammond. And you basically spend the rest of the game communicating with those guys while trying to get off the ship and trying to find your girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend. I said that, right?
Ex, though. Like, you're not actually in a relationship with her in this game. Like, for some reason, you are going and trying to save her, but she is not. She is not currently your girlfriend.
Okay, I'm just. I remember the video saying like, "I loved you. I always loved you." So I just assumed that we're in a relationship still.
Yeah, it's I guess we'll get into that in a bit, but yeah, that was more to bring him in, like the, because it's all fake, right? Like, so I guess we're just jump right to the end there. Like, yeah. It's all in his head. Like, she's not actually communicating with him. But the reason that he's like trying to go is because, like, oh, maybe I can rekindle my relationship with her, and she needs help. Like, so.
How do you all feel about Isaac being a silent protagonist during all this? I think it led to some awkward, like, non-reactions to stuff.
Yeah. Probably would have been better if he talked.
Dead Space 2, baby.
Usually I didn't mind it, but there were moments like, Kendra is talking about how she's starting to see things like hallucinations. And, you know, I just wanted like a thing like, you know, even a Peanuts sound effect being like, wow, 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 wow. Oh, wow, you've been seeing your dead girlfriend? Wow, that's really rough, dude, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I guess it didn't really bother me that much, but is he a silent protagonist in the second game?
Nope, he talks.
Ah, yeah,
like immediately, too, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, right from the beginning of that game.
Yeah, he, like, gets out of the chair when the guy's face explodes and he's just like, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly the Jack and Daxter to Jack 2 treatment.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, like for the most part, it wasn't really like noticeable because like there's not a whole lot of communication in the game in the first place, at least up until the later chapters. But like most of the time they did okay, like working around it. Like people are just kind of talking at him, not to him. But there are times where it's just like, dude, respond, say something.
Mm-hmm. Like at the end,
he's
when
gonna
he
stand there like in his serial killer helmet while everyone is sort of, you know, and the normal people talking to each other, and he's just menacingly standing there. So yeah, like you said, in the early bits where there's a lot of isolation going on, it makes sense that he's just gonna like, I'm gonna stay quiet, because you know, if he says something out loud and like, well, maybe the monsters will find him that way, like I can get the logic behind staying quiet there. But when people are talking to you and expecting responses and you're just standing there stewing with this weapon in your hand, yeah, I'd be uncomfortable with that guy hanging about.
I mean, one thing that always bugs me is like the parts where he's like knocked down or like gets blown back by an explosion or whatever, and then somebody comes in like, hey, are you okay? Like, he doesn't say anything, but they just assume that he's okay, I guess.
Just points, like, to his health bar on his back.
Yeah, like, okay, I still have his vitals, so, I mean, he must be fine. Like, it's not just that game. It's, like, all games like that, where it's just, like, somebody's asking you a question, you should say something.
And I know this is more of a gameplay mechanic to reduce the lack of HUD, but I just, that was one thing I always loved when playing as Isaac, just being able to see the health on the back of his spine. I don't know. There's just something really satisfying about that.
Right. It's like it looks cool, right? Like, and then yeah, it allows the entire screen to kind of be, you know, encompassed by what's going on, as opposed to like, here's your health bar up at the top, like it's right there on your back.
Even your ammo being a little hologram on your gun is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it solely on the gun, or is it? Is there like a HUD element as well?
No,
for the
when you raise a gun, there's just a little number that's next to it.
Gotcha.
Like coming
after
out of
a certain
it.
Point, I guess I just like, I would just acknowledge number, screen, ammo, and I completely forgot where that was coming from.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you don't really think about it too much, but even like your menu when you're looking at your items or looking at the map, that's all coming out of Isaac's suit. He has a little projector on his chest.
So oh, like I did that when I did that at the wrong spot. But yeah.
Yeah, so everything's in universe. Nothing's like overlaid. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, and then, I mean, so basically you're aboard the Ishimura. Ishimura. Yeah. Sorry. And yeah, basically 12 chapters of you running all over the ship, basically encountering nobody. It kind of gave me some like Half-Life vibes. I guess just maybe Because that's when I played Half-Life 2, and especially the original Half-Life, it's just you go like long stretches without dialogue, and you just kind of let the environment, the atmosphere, do the talking.
It's another game where, you know, you're the protagonist doesn't talk, and like people just talk at him too. It's very weird.
Yeah, I kind of wish the game was more like you're describing, where there was a lot of just silence and all that, but like the game is just so full of people yelling orders at you, or you find an audio log. There's just tons and tons of voice work where it's like, I think if there were more long stretches of isolation, I think that would have benefited the game.
No, I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from. Yeah, I mean, like normally I like those elements. I like having a story in front of me, but I was just so bored by it that whenever it popped up, I would just internally criticize it.
Well, yeah, because like it's always just, Isaac, you gotta turn on the air conditioner on level 3. Go do that now, and then you go do it, and it's like, okay, now we can go turn on the reactor on, you know, and it's just like a chore list that don't really make sense. It's just to get you to the next area.
Yeah, so I mean, I when this came out, I guess people were comparing it to Alien and saying it was like a Resident Evil 4 kind of successor. You were talking about, Javi, so I was expecting not like good narrative, but I was expecting like good bad narrative, like it just like cheesy dialogue, something I could laugh at, and I couldn't even do that.
Well, I mean, the Resident Evil 4 comparisons are pretty strictly like the gameplay.
Yeah.
The gameplay period. Except, you know, you can move this time when you aim, which is pretty nice. But, you know, I guess for me, the story doesn't really stick out as anything that's bad per se. It's just, it's there. It's your standard, hey, here's this derelict spaceship. There's a threat on board, it picked off everyone, and in the manner in which it happens, you know, whether that's internal sabotage, this external force, a little mixture of both, it all sort of hits the sort of standard notes, but I don't think it's doing anything particularly poorly except for that silent protagonist that sort of makes the tone a little bit off.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the narrative overall is fine. I think the twist, especially at the time, maybe not so much nowadays, but at the time, like the revelation that your girlfriend that you saw in person and you were working with at the end in the final act, that like it's been a hallucination, it's been the marker manipulating you to get it back on the planet and all that. Like that's a really cool, twist. It reminds me of Metal Gear Solid 1, of course, where you accidentally activate the Metal Gear, But yeah, I think it did its job. I think my biggest peeve in terms of the narrative is just the way in which it guides you from area to area is really just they find a new problem that Isaac needs to solve over and over and over and over again, and it gets kind of played out. Again, not to continuously point to Dead Space 2, but that game felt a lot more like a straight line, you know, kind of a roller coaster ride, and this is more like go here, now go here, now go here, now go here. So yeah, that's kind of my only issue.
Maybe some time would have passed, but I don't know. I guess the ending, I was just like, oh, they pretty much they took some direct inspiration from The Sixth Sense.
I could see that.
I mean, it's, I think it's more like what Gray said at the beginning, like more cosmic horror, where like it's not like I see dead people. It's more like this thing is controlling what you're seeing.
Making you see dead people.
Yeah, making you interact with dead people and bringing them back to life and killing you. But I mean, it's a pretty familiar trope, like with like science fiction horror as well, like where hallucinations come into place and.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty standard, you know, kind of what Marcus was saying.
And I do appreciate that, at least in the first Dead Space, the kind of lore and what exactly is going on is simple enough that you can kind of get the gist of it. They found that marker. People, you know, are started going crazy and yada, yada, yada. The marker's manipulating you to bring it back to the planet, whatever. Like, that's, you can kind of follow that. But as you, as the games progress, even into 2 and 3, especially, it gets into the Unitology Church and all this stuff, and it's so convoluted. I can't be bothered to understand any of it.
Yeah, this is pretty simplistic, right? Like, yeah, it's just like, here's this. It's like, it's, I think it takes a lot of inspiration from like Event Horizon, actually. Yep, like,
totally.
Where it's like, I mean, that's a hell mouth in space, but, you know, very similar design to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they there was one thing with that church stuff in this game, so it alludes to that, and that they're sort of like ushering along this as they're trying to, like, I don't know, bring about whatever they believe in through this marker and through these I guess alien organisms. I would say something, and maybe this is something that Paul was actually going to mention before I cut him off, but that lady who sort of in a different twist in the game says, oh, by the way, like, there's a ton of these things, we're just like, we need this for something, like, that was the bit where I was like, what are you talking about? Like, can we like rewind for a second here? I completely lost like the thread on what was happening when she did her reveal.
Yeah, so like, I was reading up on it, like, the marker that's on this planet is the red marker, which is a copy of the black marker, which was found on Earth. And basically, when they activated it on this random planet, shit went wrong, and they quarantined and closed off the sector. And then this mining company comes through and is just like, oh, we're going to ignore that.
But space capitalism.
Pretty much.
So, I mean, so the red marker and the black marker and all that stuff, I wonder, maybe that's explained in this game and some of the text or whatever, and I just didn't notice it. But, like, to me, simpler is always better, and like, I feel like Dead Space would have benefited greatly if they just kept it at, we found this thing on this planet, we unearthed it, and it just devastated everybody around it. And just keep it that simple. The fact that it's like, oh, there was one on Earth that we found, and there's one on this planet, and it's been hundreds of years since they found it, and there's a church that's built around it somehow, but like, wouldn't people have noticed that everyone in the church is turning into gooey monsters? I don't know. It's just, it gets so crazy and unbelievable the more I hear about it, about the bigger universe. And so, man, they could have kept it simple. They could have made it really cool.
Yeah, there's like just a thing.
Haunted house in space, like, that's all you need to do.
Maybe some of you made I had one caveat. So was it creating the aliens from humans, or was there like the necromorphs were on the planet, and the marker was supposed to be kind of keeping them docile?
It's hard to say, right? Because like, when we see necromorphs being created, it's those weird bat wing things that like grab onto a body and reanimate it, and they turn into those like big black creepy necromorphs, super necromorphs, but you know, no, I have no idea. I'm sure there is some lore explaining it, but...
So of course there, you know, there's a wiki for everything,
right?
The Dead Space wiki says necromorphs are mutated and reanimated corpses reshaped into horrific new forms by a recombinant extraterrestrial infection. So I guess they have to take over something that's dead, but can like reanimate them.
Yeah, that makes sense in the context of like the military ship that comes in about halfway through the game, because like there's like one necromorph on that ship, and somehow it gets out and like kills everybody, and they all turn into necromorphs. So like, it's just coming from like other necromorphs, I guess. I guess the question would be like, where is the original necromorph more than so than like, where do new ones come from?
We need a Prometheus.
Dead Space Zero.
Jesus.
There might be something.
The Wii game wasn't that?
Oh, I don't know. I've never played that one.
Yeah, I was going to say that might be.
I thought there was 1.5.
There's also an animated movie that takes place before the first game, so it might be somewhere in there.
Yeah, it's so crazy how hard EA went with the promotion stuff for this game.
You know, I wanted to ask y'all who played this game like at release. This was what, 2008? The original Dead Space, or was that also 2007?
2008.
No, this was 2008.
Okay, so you know, it came out around the first BioShock, which also had a similar late game twist reveal that sort of reshaped a little bit of like the narrative of what was going on. Of course, BioShock did much more with it, but I wonder, you know, was there some thought that like, okay, like all games are just going to be doing something like this at that point, where it starts to feel a little like rote and not too inspired at that time.
Where the quest giver is actually your enemy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, or like, you know, things just aren't as they appear, and it's always something that's like, well, you know, I probably wouldn't have guessed that. Like, how was I supposed to know? Like, cool, you're always going to pull the rug out from under me. I'm just going to assume the rug's always going to get pulled.
I mean, I'm sure there are, I mean, I mentioned Metal Gear earlier, but I'm sure there's other games that also have done that, but I don't think it ever became, like, too overplayed, at least not from my memory, but I did play this at launch. Yeah, I was super down for Dead Space. Like from the first trailer, I was that's my jam. Yeah,
yeah,
I think
same.
This was a fall 2008. So I at the time I was busy with Fallout 3, Metal Gear Solid 4, and Smash Brothers Brawl. So that's what I remember my 2008 being. So yep, this was my first
October
time playing the game.
October 2008.
But everybody perfect else, really. Just to clarify, everybody else has played this once before?
No, this is also my first time doing it. Well, doing it full way through back in 2010 or so. I played it for a bit at a buddy's house when he was going through it, but it never, you know, never getting the full picture of what was going on.
This is at the height of, like Javi said, of like that transmedia where, you know, we have novels and animes and like there's so much extra stuff that goes along with Dead Space.
Yeah.
That they kind of came out around this time too.
You can't compete with Pokemon. Pokemon does it best.
I think I played this game at least two times, maybe two and a half. Cause I remember, I think I have every single trophy, but one, which is, I think beating it on the hardest difficulty. Yeah. I definitely beat it at least twice. Cause I did the plasma gun only run and then the regular run. But
yeah,
and then I probably did another run just collecting extra trophies. But yeah.
Speaking of which, I think we've talked about the story to death at this point, no pun intended. So yeah, in regards to what Javi was saying about difficulty, what difficulty did you guys play this on?
I said normal.
Yeah.
Same.
This was my first horror game, so I played it on easy just to make it a little more bearable for myself.
Oh, I don't blame you. I'm a huge pussy. That's why this game took me a while. Because for the first couple chapters, I was like, all right, let's make sure all the lights are on. It's daytime still. Cool. Let's play this. But eventually with the game, it you know, like we mentioned, it overstays its welcome a bit. So it's like, oh no, I know it's gonna happen. Like you get into a little bit of groove of like, yep, that's coming. Oh, cool, they're gonna change this one enemy type to be a little bit stronger, or this one to be a little bit faster. But yeah, I think the difficulty on normal is doable for those of us who are very easily frightened. I don't know how some of y'all were doing the more advanced stuff. I guess, you know, what is that like? Like, are they stronger? Do they hit harder? Do they give even less ammo?
Yes, all of that. I actually have, like, memories. Actually, I might have platinum the first one, now that I remember, because I did play it on the hardest difficulty, because I remember getting to the final area. It's like, there's like this, not the final area, it's not where you're on the planet, but I think it's right before you get down to the planet, and there's like this U-shaped like a railing, and they're just pouring enemies, all these freaking enemies at you, including the explosive guys. And jeez. I had like such little, I didn't have the ammo to deal with it. I just didn't. And it took hours and hours of retrying until I could like cut off a limb, pick it up, and, you know, use the force push to take out a guy, grab the next one, you know, basically make it through without the ammo that I needed. So yeah, it gets really brutal, but I guess like most of the best games when you're playing on the hardest difficulty, even when you didn't do the best job conserving ammo, there is a way. If you can play well enough, you can make it through. But yeah, it is pretty brutal. I think Dead Space 2 is the one. Yes, Dead Space 2 is what I couldn't platinum because there was a trophy for playing on the hardest difficulty, but you can only save twice in the whole game. So there's no checkpoints. So if you die, you go back to the save that you have. So you can only put down a flag twice. It's insane.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, from easy, I had all this extra ammo to sell, and I would use that to just buy power nodes and stuff. So that's how I just upgraded my equipment more than I think the game wanted me to.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, even on normal, you get a ton of ammo. Like, I had a whole bunch just, like, in storage. Like, I would, like, flip over and look, and I'd had, like, 6 or 7, like, Ripper Blade packs. I'd be like, I could probably sell one of these.
But, yeah, so, I mean, like, in terms of, like, the entire 12 chapters, but what was your favorite part of the game or favorite part of the ship?
I was going to say, I like whenever you're outside of the ship, when you're on the hull, and you can just see space above you. Like, that's my favorite parts of the game. So there's a couple instances of that. One of them reminds me a lot. I don't know if any of you have seen Star Trek First Contact, but there's a part in that movie where they're on top of the hull of the ship trying to repair some machine out there, and there's a Borg, like these zombie robot people coming from all sides, and it's like super intense. And like, there's a part in Dead Space that's just like that. It must have been a reference because it's very similar. But that's probably
like when you go outside and it's just quiet. Like,
oh yeah, the sound design. Oh yeah, man,
so good.
Yeah,
yeah. The vacuum, the sound effects, uh-huh. Just everything. It feels so good, and you feel tense when you're starting to run out of oxygen. So when the sound comes back, and you're like, "Oh my god, I actually made it!" Fuck.
Yeah, totally. Like from Isaac just breathing in the helmet, and then just the bassy sound that everything is making because it's all muffled. That's really, really good. Also, it looks beautiful out there.
Yeah, and I think Chris commented on this a bit on Twitter, but the zero gravity sections, I was surprised at how well they held up. I was just like, oh, damn, this is actually like, I was very pleasantly surprised. And then you're able to grab objects with your, the force, the telekinesis and the magnetism. So that makes it easier to grab objects in the environment as well.
Yeah, definitely holds up. Although Dead Space 2 has like full jetpack maneuvering in 3D space, which is kind of fun also.
Isaac comes a little more prepared in Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
But Chris, what were you gonna say before, Javi?
For me, it's like the opening of the game, like those first few chapters, like I think they do a good job of setting tension because it actually becomes very shootery.
Yeah,
like pretty quickly into the game, it's like, but I think it's like my memory of those first few chapters where there's, you know, where you're just seeing the Necromorphs and you're not fighting like hordes of them coming at you. You know, it's very horror-ish. It's very tense before it becomes like a you know, kind of a standard shooter. I think that's why it's always compared, like, you know, Dead Space 2 is very shooter heavy straight through. Like Javi said, it's a roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. This ramps up a little bit slower to get there. And it's like very good horror vibe at the beginning. So I really like the opening a few chapters of this as it sets that in. And I think that's why, you know, you compare it to Alien, whereas like people compare Dead Space 2 to Aliens. But this one very actiony in the back half. So.
Although I do think like what we were saying about how this game doesn't have enough, moments of quiet where you're like, and then, you know, just letting the tension just kind of letting you sit in it. I do have a standout memory, and obviously I need to revisit it to confirm this, but I do remember like Dead Space 2, in spite of all its big set pieces and crazy action, there is a section in that game where you return to the Ishimura and it's all the lights are off, like basically the power's off on the Ishimura. So you're walking through these areas that you remember, but like it's like quiet and you're literally using your flashlight to see anything. And then shit hits the fan. But I think that part specifically stands out more than anything from Dead Space 1 for me. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first bit of the game when the Necromorphs kill half your crew and you're running away from them. Like just that tension was great, and then they use like environmental like storytelling, like a guy like insane, basically riding shoot them in the limbs in his own blood.
Yeah,
I don't know. That kind of stuff like that. I was just I know you guys were talking about like letting it stew, but I love how it catapulted you into the action kind of like that.
Yeah, and I do like a lot of like the people that you do run into are so messed up, even if they're not monsters. Like there's that woman just crying, looking at a stretcher. It's like, oh, can I talk to you? No, not at all. Can I do anything? Like I didn't try to shoot her. I imagine you can kill her, but and then the other guy was like cracking his head against the wall until he breaks and then falls down.
Cool. There's that one woman who I think she kills a guy on an operating table and then slices her own throat and just looks at you while doing it. And it's like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
If he might game was terrifying.
Marcus, you're coming in a little
robot.
Nope, still robot.
Okay, well, you guys do your thing. I'll be right
back.
I'm good. Now. Am I a human being again? Nice.
Yes.
All right, free me from this mortal shell. But my favorite chapter was chapter 5, Lethal Devotion. It's that first one where the unkillable necromorph is introduced. And I was not expecting that at all. And so to have so much of the level be like, oh, hey, it's here again. Like, just hurry up, get to your next objective, try to get your stuff so you can find some way to kill it. I thought was a really nice change of pace. It was a completely different enemy than just, well, you got to kill it the special way or wait for it to pop its limbs out this way. It was like, no, you just got to keep running, buddy. And I think I really appreciated that they did that, but then they did it again later and I was like, okay, come on guys. Like that was just another nail in the coffin. Like, well, let's wrap this up. We already did this trick.
Exactly. For sure. Actually, I'm glad you brought up that guy because that was the first, well, not the first, but one of many issues that I had with my PC version. So when you start playing Dead Space on Steam, you'll notice that aiming is a nightmare. Like you'll press a direction with your stick and there's literally a full half second before it starts moving. And there's nothing you can do about that. Except when I looked into it, you can turn off VSync. If you turn off VSync, then it plays pretty much normally, and so that's nice. But I did have a couple of really weird physics issues. Like I stomped on a guy, and they started like spinning like a million miles per hour, and just like bonking into all the walls and stuff until the game crashed. Another thing, I was in a gravity free zone and I looked at a floor that I wanted to jump to and I jumped towards it and Isaac just stayed in his dive position and then the game just froze completely. So the PC version's kind of a mess. And you brought up necromorph that can't die. I got to the arena where you're supposed to freeze it and destroy it for the first time. I walk in there and then the doctor starts doing his monologue and he's like, now you will fight my creation. And then nothing happens. And every door is locked, not even the one to turn on the freezer. And I'm like, what's going on? And there was nothing I could do. Nothing was happening. So I reload the save, go back in. The exact same thing happens. I'm like, what is this? And I had to look it up and they're like, turn VSync back on when you enter that room. Otherwise that'll happen. So I turn VSync on, go in there. He's in there. You can actually see him in the glass. He wasn't there before. and then the monster spawns, and then I could finally, I have to turn Vsic back off so I can actually aim properly, and then I can defeat it. But there's just loads of issues on the PC version, and I cannot believe that here we are in 2021 and they've never addressed it. They just released this game like this and it's still like that. It's insane.
So those are issues that were in that version like way back in the day. It's not, you know,
direct as far as I
updated and OS is being updated.
As far as I can tell, I mean, maybe with older versions of Windows when it originally came out, that wasn't an issue. But like, if you look at Steam or any forums about Dead Space PC, you'll see people going like, why can't I aim? Why does this play like garbage? And everybody's like, turn off VSync, but not in this area. So, I don't know.
It's one of those, like, it was right before like we started getting really good PC ports of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a shame because like that game probably looks way better than it does on the 360. But
yeah, it looks really nice. Yeah. And I can play an ultra
wide.
Did you
run into any of similar problems when you were playing on PC, Chris?
I played on the Series X. So.
Ah, okay. Like we all should.
I would have loaded up the PS3 version in case there were any trophies I was missing.
Yeah, I remember my first quote-unquote experience with the game. Like, I never played it properly, but back in 2009, I want to say, I was at a friend's house, and I noticed he had the game. So we loaded it up, and I played, like, the first 3-4 minutes, and the ship, the tiny ship you're on at first went straight through the Ishimaru and then just glitched out. And after that, I was just like, you know what? That's probably the best ending I'm going to get. So yeah, there's definitely some bugs in the game, but I'm glad the 360. I played. My friend had the PS3 copy, but I'm glad the 360 version seems to have been pretty stable for most people.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't have any like Series X improvements. You know, outside of Grace mentioning just the SSD giving it a little bit, you know, faster load speeds by nature of the technology. But you know, I would say, even with the lack of improvements, the game holds up surprisingly well. I think where it falls apart is sort of like, I'm a little bit opposite of Javi on this. When you start to go into bigger environments, it really is like, oh no, the game can't handle this. Like the game wasn't meant for you to see this much at once. And I think it becomes much less impressive and much more dated in those sections. But overall, you know, other times I'm like, ooh, this looks real nice. And then just makes me think of that teaser they showed for the Dead Space remake where it's like, oh, this is going to look even nicer.
And they're redesigning that from like the ground up. So that's going to be really interesting to watch like play out.
Oh, it's a full remake?
Yeah, they're redesigning scenarios and everything. It's just the same basic story premise, like the Ishimaru, that sort of thing.
Huh. I watched a little bit of their presentation. It was kind of hard to watch because it was mostly just people talking and not actually showing anything. But he like showed the hallway where the guy's hitting his head against the wall. And he said that they took the original map, like the 3D model of the arena, and then basically built on top of it to make it more detailed, and then worked on the shaders and the lighting and all that stuff. So I wonder how much of it is going to be like one-to-one, like recreating every single space from the first game, or if they're going to do a lot of more original creative stuff. But I don't know, I'm excited to see.
It's going to be good going into it kind of like more fresh versus like I said, the last time I played Dead Space before now was like almost 10 years ago, so it's going to be nice kind of like having a better reference point.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, yeah, I think did you say you played Dead Space 2 as well?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I played Dead Space 2 way back, so I haven't played it recently.
What, from your memory, like, what are your thoughts of 1 versus 2 as far as your personal enjoyment?
I want to say I remember liking 1 better, like, more for the atmosphere than, like, 2 obviously had better gameplay improvements, but, like, I guess 1 just sort of had more of, like, that suffocating, like, loneliness sort of thing that it's like it definitely had more horror than action. I mean, it had a lot of action too, of course, but versus like the second game was just like more, a lot more action, a lot less kind of like, from what I remember anyway, like a lot less just a lot less street horror and a lot more street action. But I'm probably gonna replay it soon just because after playing the first one, I do kind of want to like remember where it goes from there.
Yeah, two gets incredibly over the top. I think that they borrowed a ton from Naughty Dog with Uncharted. Where like you get pulled into these ridiculous set pieces that are like, yeah. What is going on?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it being a lot like a lot more kind of explosive. I mean, not maybe not literally explosive, like
not literally. Yeah,
but yeah, yeah. Like I don't know if I'm gonna play three or not, just because I don't. I still don't know if I want to acknowledge that 3 exists, but I'm definitely going to replay 2 at some point soon.
3's fine.
Like, I played it in co-op, which I guess is, like, the right way to play it, but I still don't have anything nice to say about it.
It's a game that exists.
That is true.
It's not, like, aggressively bad. It's just not, like, coming off Dead Space 1 and 2, it's like, right. This is a, you know, you're turning back a little bit here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of variables, a lot of changes in 3 that are all, in my mind, just bad decisions. The choice to go co-op, the even more leaning into action. But I think that the graphics and areas that you go into are pretty neat. I like the opening in the city. That's kind of cool to see a city in this world.
That was Visceral's swan song, right? Or did something happen to Visceral in the middle of that development process?
Well, they were working on that Star Wars game that got canceled, and then they got dissolved. That was the Amy Hennig-led one.
So they didn't even work on 3 at all? It was just 1 and 2?
Oh,
and
no, they worked on
3. Was... They did 3.
Yeah. Okay.
They worked on 3, and then EA was like, you guys better buy this one or else there's no more Dead Space. And then they're like, well, there's no more Dead Space because this didn't sell.
Yeah, and this was Dead Space 3 was not like the end of Visceral either. Like, I think their last game was actually Battlefield Hardline. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
What a swan song that was.
Yeah.
You
know, it's funny though. You can draw a straight. Like, I like to draw a straight line between Resident Evil 4 was a monster smash hit, and EA is like, we want to bet on safe bets, right? So let's do our Resident Evil 4, and let's really kind of lean into that. So Dead Space was that. I imagine it was a pretty big success. So Dead Space 2, kind of just like we're continuing it, yada yada yada. But then Dead Space 3 to me feels like, okay, Resident Evil 5, I think 5, no, 6 was probably the highest selling Resident Evil, but 5 did really well, and it had co-op.
I didn't know they did one of the Army of Two games, the Devil's Cartel.
Huh. Yeah, it was co-developed by them.
But yeah, then Dead Space 3 was kind of riding off the back of Resident Evil 5 doing the co-op thing, more action. And then they're like, oh, this didn't sell well, this didn't work, following Resident Evil isn't working. And that was actually around the time, remember, Capcom and everyone was saying people don't like horror, so they kind of like horror games kind of went away until PT gave that genre a jump start. But with the incredible success of Resident Evil 2 remake and Resident Evil 3 remake, and like the genre's back, and now EA is like, oh, is it safe again? Okay, Dead Space remake. Like, they're just following that trend. Interesting.
Where's the second Dante's Inferno game, guys?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we were talking about like how they were following Resident Evil. They were following Devil May Cry with that one.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like copying off Capcom's homework all the time.
Oh, and that was also the era where I know for well over a few years, EA was like voted the worst company ever in a couple of polls, and yeah. I think it was because of some of those decisions. I think they're a lot better now, but yeah, people did not have a high opinion of EA at this time.
Well, but they were also voted worst company because of capital G gamers, so it's a take it with a grain of salt, as always.
Vocal minority.
You kind of feel, I don't know if I want to say you kind of feel bad for EA, like that doesn't make sense, but it's not for lack of trying, I guess I'll say. Like, there was that that the time when Dead Space came out, they also invested in Mirror's Edge and I think a couple other like wholly original IPs that they put a lot of money behind, and it just didn't pay back. You know, it just, those games didn't sell.
And that caused them to go safe, really.
Yes, like exactly.
Like, they tried to throw people a crumb with Catalyst, but I mean, no one is biting on that Mirror's Edge either.
Well, apparently it wasn't very good, but I didn't play it.
It was mediocre, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we've covered gameplay. We touched on sound design. Did anybody else want to say anything about that, or just? That's pretty much really good.
I did want to say a little bit about that. The, you know, especially in the early stages of the game where you're going down the hallways and you hear the necromorphs like in the pipes and in the ducts above you and around you, because apparently the way the ship is designed, there's just ducts literally everywhere. And I was never sure when it was like, oh, is this just like ambient noise they've thrown in there to heighten up tension? Or am I about to get, you know, blindsided by a necromorph? And I would sort of hoped that they were a little bit more clear about that. But after a while, I was just always walking around with my gun out. So it's like, yep, I hear you. You might be coming, you might not be. Who cares? Like, I see where you would come out. There's a big hole in the wall here that says I'm gonna get you. But I think it's one of those things that definitely makes my blood pressure rise either way. And so on that level, I think they really succeeded with what they did with the sound in this game.
Yeah. On that note, like I was like constantly like going down elevators or opening doors. Like I was always like pointing my gun through them as soon as the door started opening, or like as soon as I could see like where I was going to get off the elevator. I'm just like pointing like, okay, if there's something out there, it's eating lead. Yeah, like, I also like kind of like, I mean, I like it in the sense that it's cool, but not in like the gameplay sense. But I do like how the necromorphs can literally just like be right behind you and you don't know that they're there because they sneak up on you so well. So I guess it's kind of like anti sound design. Like,
you don't, yeah, that's when I would audibly like let out a shriek. Like when they would surprise me, I'd be like, I thought I got all of you. What the?
Exactly, like you're out, like two or three of them in front of you, and you're like, okay, I think it's safe. Like I can pop over my inventory, you know, my health pack or whatever, and it's like you get like stabbed in the back like immediately. Like, oh, okay, I guess you're there.
I think the music cues were even misleading with that too, right? Because you know it would like ramp down for a second, making you think, oh, like okay, cool, like the room's safe. But then as soon as one would pop up right behind you, then the music would just blare back up again, like it was just waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah, like it really plays like on your visual. Like if you can see a necromorph, then the music kicks in. But if you can't see them, then it's like they're not even there.
And one of my caveats about this game, and this is more, it was a technical limitation at the time. Yeah, you just touched on it, but like you could tell the ventilation panels where they were going to pop out of. So it was like one of those things where it's like, oh boy, I wonder what's going to happen when I come back from through here.
It's like you're watching an old cartoon and you can tell that something is on its own cell. It's not part of the background. So like that's definitely going to move.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's like with the reboot going on, that's something I'm kind of excited. Like if they can make that like blend in with the environment so you don't know where their spawn points are, I feel like that would make the experience even more claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Well, some of them, like, they don't spawn from anywhere. They're, like, laying on the ground pretending to be dead, and then they just, like, pop back up. Like,
oh. Yep.
Well, it's, that's me. Stomp, stomp, stomp all the time.
Yep. Oh,
yeah. I always do that.
Them. Yeah, I shoot them before they like, get up. Like, I just make sure they're dead.
You can use Kinesis, too, to identify them.
Oh.
Like, yeah, you can know about that.
So, only corpses will move by Kinesis. So, right. If you can't grab it, it's one that will jump up at you.
Although, how cool would it have been if you could pick it up and it comes to life and like scratches your face?
As you're pulling it towards you.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Awesome.
Going back to what somebody else said about like going back to the sound design briefly, like somebody said the game was really loud. It was extremely loud. Like using the Ripper, like if you touch the ground with the Ripper, it's just like like buzzing in your ear, like my eardrums are about to explode trying to use it, because like you have to like point at the ground anyway, like it, because it goes so like so far most of the time. If they're not at the right exact distance, you have to like point it down at their legs, but you're just like scraping the ground the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yesterday, so not yesterday, the day before yesterday, it's a little bit off topic, but I watched the two Rob Zombie Halloween movies, and those are just so full of just screaming, just a wall of screaming. And I was just like, God, I had to turn it like down to whisper volume so that I could tolerate it. And then I started playing Dead Space last night, and it just the same, I felt the same way, where I'm like, I'm not in the mood to just like hear just all this noise, you know. It's like, it's just really, it's a lot.
Rob Zombie's Halloween will sour people on everything, so.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah, and also, like, when the characters actually, like, contact you, it makes it, like, that crackling noise when they first pop in. Then, like, they're always talking loud anyway. Then, like, that just, like, that first crackle when they first, like, come in and start talking to you, like, suddenly, like, out of nowhere. And it's, like,
yeah,
okay, it's just a little loud.
There's a lot of layers, right? And it, so it becomes unintelligible, because you have the necromorphs, multiple of them in the room, just going like, rah, 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 like all sorts of noises. And then the music is like this high-pitched, like ringing, or like, you know, and then there's like violins that are getting higher and higher pitch to like up the tension. And it just is so much that, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting too old.
I was definitely there with you. Like, sometimes I would just be like, I could probably play a little Dead Space tonight, but then I'd be like, you know, I want to relax with the Tales of game or Super Monkey Ball. That's usually what I ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little break.
A Monkey Ball is probably more stress-inducing, honestly.
It's the scarier game by far.
But it's cute. It has that going for it. Like, deceptively cute, but it's cute.
So yeah. Anybody have any closing thoughts? I think we've kind of dissected it pretty well at this point, but
I guess I'm curious. Does this game have? Is it a classic, I guess? Like, do you look back, like when someone says Dead Space, do you think like that's like a iconic game that will be remembered for really like for years to come? I know that there's the remake coming out, which will kind of shake things up. But to me, Dead Space was one of those like top tier, like you can point to that as like one of the best horror games ever. Do I feel that way now? I mean, I feel like it's almost like a force of habit, or like the muscle memory where I'm like, yeah, no, Dead Space is amazing and wonderful. And like revisiting it, though, I just wasn't in the mood for it. So I don't know if that says anything about it, how it holds up. But I'm curious how you all feel.
I mean, yeah, like, go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, like I kind of agree in a sense. Like, it definitely felt a lot stronger when it first came out than it does now, but at the same time, it's not necessarily the type of game that I would look at and say like, okay, everybody's going to remember this in, you know, 10 years or whatever, but I'm going to remember it in 10 years. So I at least like, I have such a strong reaction to it that like, I think, you know, oh, it's a great game. It's just like this wonderful, you know, mix of horror and action. And I absolutely love it. Like, whether anybody else like feels that way, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now is whatever, because, like,
yeah,
I know I'm still going to feel that way.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with it. Like, I restarting it here and then playing through it, like, I was enjoying going through it. Maybe I was in the mood for it, Avi, like, where just, like, it hit for me at that point, but I had fond memories of Dead Space. This did not, like, sour them at all. And you know, somebody's like, hey, like, about that Dead Space, like, yeah, that was one of the best games from like that era of games, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah,
I think mechanically, when I look at it, like, even now, just like the concept of like, oh, you can't just shoot them in the head, you have to, you know, strategically dismember. I think that mechanic, more than anything, I think that's kind of Dead Space lasting legacy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, like, as much as I had problems with maybe the game's narrative and nitpicked a couple of the environmental stuff, the game was fun. I love the controls, and I feel like that alone makes it worthy of being kind of like a legacy title, and why it's still being remade. I think it was a very creative game, and honestly, when I was playing this, I was just like, I kind of wished I could put the shooting mechanics and just the strategic dismemberment into another game, because I was having such a great time with it.
Yeah,
I guess to piggyback off of Paul, the fact that they're remaking the game is to me like already sort of proof enough that yes, it is a classic. Now, I guess for my personal opinion on the game, I've never been a big horror fan in general because I'm scared of so much of it. But you know, I did play Resident Evil 4 before that, and have played some of them since, and I've done some of the like more psychological horror games rather than the jump scary ones. But I don't know, like I feel like Dead Space, it holds up well enough, and I feel like the ideas that are already here in this game and sort of a lot of the structure that was already in the game means that, you know, when that remake comes out, like it's gonna sort of round those corners to be a much more polished experience, and maybe one where like the technology is finally able to deliver the vision that they really had for it back in the day. You know, I guess I sort of take a look at Demon's Souls, where it's like, yep, it was sort of that originator, you know, in a sense of that whole genre, but the game itself, ooh, not so hot. Like it definitely had a lot of improvements that could have been made to it. And so the PS5 game, you know, takes a lot of steps towards sort of reaching, you know, that initial vision and creating a game that backs up the idea. And so I think Dead Space 1 is a classic. I do intend to play 2 at some point, just because, you know, Javi, you've talked about them so much and as a pair, and even though they're pretty different experiences, it is still something that I want to see for myself, because Dead Space 1 ends in such a cliffhanger way of like, wait, what? here's the last jump scare, and I almost immediately like, why? Well, now I gotta go install Dead Space 2 and boot this thing up because I thought my little boy Isaac was safe and free, and maybe not so much. And I want to see if they change anything around that in the remake, like if they're gonna try and clean it up a bit, maybe make it less dependent on a sequel if it's only gonna be standalone, or if they are just betting on it being standalone for now. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, I can't wait to hear what you think of Dead Space 2. I think you'll enjoy it. It's funny that you mentioned that Demon's Souls, because it's wild to think that these games are from the same era. Because Demon's Souls, you boot that up today and it's like, woof, this looks so rough. You know, and granted, it didn't have the full, you know, financial backing and technical, you know, know-how of EA at the time, so like obviously Dead Space looked better, but you look at these two games next to each other now, Dead Space 1 still looks really, really good. You could put out Dead Space, you know, as like a budget title and like no one would bat an eyelash. It looks really great. So I do want to give it credit for that. I think that the game still holds up tremendously mechanically, gameplay wise, visually, and like, to be totally honest, like I feel like a lot of the negativity that I said about the game was mostly based off of last night's play session, where I was just like, dude, I want to play the good life. I want to like chill. I don't want to be screamed at tonight, you know, because I did play plenty of Dead Space in my initial play session and had a great time. So, yeah, it was just probably playing it at the wrong time.
Yeah.
I hope that the remake like rekindles the series somewhat.
Yeah.
It's like, you just look at stuff like, you know, Resident Evil or even Silent Hill, which is, you know, kind of gone into disrepair over since Konami went crazy. But like they have so many games in their series, and like people, fans of them were able to keep getting, even if they weren't good, they were getting something from them. Yeah. And like Dead Space just kind of been dormant for like 8 years.
Mm-hmm. I think a part of it is this impossible bar that companies like EA, you know, have for their titles to hit, for something to be worth investing their money into. It can't just make its money back. It needs to like make a dent in their financial report, their earnings report, you know? And right. Yeah, I don't know if this game, even if it's excellent, even if it gets all the buzz and is doing super well, I don't know if it's going to satisfy EA, but I am grateful that we're getting it at all.
Kind of reminds me of Square Enix's reaction to the reboot of Tomb Raider. Like, yep, it sold incredibly well, but they're like, it didn't sell good enough. It was just like, it's like one of those things where it's just like, we're looking at the same sales figures, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, they said that about Hitman. They said that about Deus Ex. Like, none of those games hit the marks that they wanted.
Like, they want every game to, like, hit, like, GTA 5 and Red Dead
right.
numbers. And, like, you're not going to. Like, those are anomalies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, it's Dead Space. So what do you have in store for us?
Me? Well, I've brought a few games to the table here for y'all to choose from. First up is Return of the Obra Dinn. No guide. I'm putting stipulations on these more puzzly ones. You can eventually do it with a guide if the game defeats you, but I want to know exactly where the game defeated you and how long into the game that took place, because yeah use a guide if you want to sort of see the rest of it, but I think a lot of these games benefit from just the discovery aspect. The second game in this list is a similar sort of thing. It's Hypnospace Outlaw. Very 90s throwback game that I had started but never really got more into, so that's just one that me personally like, I should probably go back and play that. Another one, Beyond Good and Evil. Hear a bunch about it, never played the original, so definitely want to check that out. Batman Arkham Origins. It's the stepchild of the Arkham series. Never got to play it originally myself because everyone just talked mad shit about it. Definitely want to check that one out. Empire of Sin. That's the one that has a little bit of like XCOM-y gameplay in addition to your sort of management. For that one, there's not like a true campaign per se. So I would say each of the characters you choose does have a story, sort of story series or like a little mini campaign. I would say if you complete one of those, that counts as sort of beating that game. And then the last one here to choose from is The Last Guardian. Again, another one of those that was I was excited for on PS3, and then it just kept getting delayed and delayed. In so much as we're not really going to talk about it until it eventually resurfaced. But when that came back, I didn't see a bunch of praise for the game. So I'm like, I'll get to it later, and this might be that later.
Cool. Does anybody have any preferences off the top of their heads?
Batman, Beyond Good and Evil, and The Last Guardian. Those three.
What about you, Chris? Oh, sorry, Grace.
I was just gonna say I already own all those three, and also Obra Dinn. I think I bought it. I can't remember, but yeah. So those would kind of be like probably more Beyond Good and Evil and Last Guardian because I haven't already played them, but I do like Arkham Origins, so that would be fine too.
I'd probably go Batman or Last Guardian. I mean, I've played Beyond Good and Evil before as well. Those three, I guess.
Yeah, for me, it would probably have to be Beyond Good and Evil, Batman, or Return of the Obra Dinn. Sorry, no Hypnospace Outlaw love.
That is okay. I can take some drugs and get to that on my own time.
Weird.
So based on everyone's responses, it looks like Arkham Origins is going to be our.
Ooh, that's perfect game. It's in Christmas time.
Yeah, it's
too.
It's a Christmas game.
We just had DC fandom to get us excited about. Let's go kill the Justice League, y'all.
I'm excited. I've started Arkham Origins a couple of times, but on PC, and I'm not a PC guy, so I just never followed through. But I really like I forget who developed it. But I like their version of Batman better than Rocksteady. I think Rocksteady's character designs are hideous. So despite the games being good, I don't like how Batman looks in those games. So
super meat bat.
Yeah.
So that's that one, like WB Montreal or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
All right, let's look up how much Arkham Origins is on Amazon before we wrap this up, just out of curiosity. Okay, it looks like the PS3 copy is about $17, and it looks like the 360 copy is a bit more expensive at $22. But, that's definitely good enough. So, with that, our next game is going to be Batman Arkham Origins. Thank you for listening to VG Club. And on behalf of everybody here, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. This is Paul.
Bye.
That's Javi. Oh, yeah. That's Marcus. And our two silent protagonists. I'll say goodnight. Bye.